أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
خليفة المسيح الفيفت أيده الله تعالى بنصره العزيز stated that in the previous Friday sermon it was mentioned how the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, accompanied by his army, approached the outskirts of Mecca discreetly and established camp. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, commanded that fires be lit at 10,000 locations. And when Abu Sufyan and his companions witnessed this, they became extremely anxious. Some details of this event have already been described, and I shall present further elaboration. Hazrat Muslim Aoud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu relates this incident in the following manner. As since Hazrat Abbas was an old acquaintance of Abu Sufyan, therefore he urged him to mount with him and appear before the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And so, taking Abu Sufyan's hand, he seated him upon his own camel and spurred the animal forward until they reached the blessed assembly of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Hazrat Abbas feared that Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who had been appointed on guard duty with him, might kill Abu Sufyan. However, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had already issued an instruction to his companions that if Abu Sufyan is encountered by any among you, he must not be killed. The entire scene had already begun to deeply transform the heart of Abu Sufyan. He reflected that just a few years ago, we compelled Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, to leave Mecca with but a single companion. And now, only 7 years have passed, and he returns along with 10,000 righteous men, to rightfully conquer Mecca without perpetrating any cruelty or injustice, and the people of Mecca possess not the strength to resist him. And so, by the time Abu Sufyan reached the gathering of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, he was overwhelmed, partly by the sheer gravity of his thoughts, and partly by fear and awe. Observing his state, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, turned to Hazrat Abbas and stated that take Abu Sufyan with you and keep him with you through the night and bring him to me in the morning. Accordingly, Abu Sufyan spent the night with Hazrat Abbas, and when morning arrived, they brought him to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. It was the time of the Fajr prayer, and the people of Mecca knew little of what it meant to stand in prayer at that hour. Abu Sufyan observed the Muslims moving about with water vessels in their hands. Some were performing ablution, while others were aligning themselves in rows for prayer. And so, witnessing this scene, he became perturbed and assumed that perhaps a new form of punishment was being prepared for him. Anxiously, he turned to Hazrat Abbas and inquired that what are these people doing so early in the morning? Upon this, Hazrat Abbas replied that there is nothing to fear. for these people are preparing for prayer. Soon after, Abu Sufyan observed thousands of Muslims standing behind the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And as he bowed into ruku, so did they all. And as the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, went into prostration, i.e. sajda, they all followed in unison. Hazrat Abbas, who was on guard duty and thus not part of the congregation, was questioned again by Abu Sufyan, that what are they doing now? I observe that whatever Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, does, they also do the same. Upon this, Hazrat Abbas replied, that why are you so astonished? For they are offering salat. But know this, that if the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, were to command them to abandon food and drink, they would forsake it without any hesitation. At this, Abu Sufyan remarked that I have seen the courts of Chosroes and of Caesar, but never have I witnessed a people so devoted to their leader as the followers of Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Then Hazrat Abbas stated, this may be the time for you to humbly request the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, to show mercy to his people. When the prayer concluded, Hazrat Abbas brought Abu Sufyan before the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said to him, that, O Abu Sufyan, has the time not come for you to realize that there is none worthy of worship except Allah? Abu Sufyan responded, that may my parents be sacrificed for you. You are most forbearing, most noble, and most kind in maintaining the ties of kinship. Indeed, I have come to understand that if there had been any deity beside Allah, he would surely have aided us. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, then stated, that, O Abu Sufyan, has the time not come for you to recognize that I am the Messenger of Allah? Abu Sufyan replied, that may my parents be sacrificed for you, I still harbor some doubts in my heart regarding this matter. But despite Abu Sufyan's hesitation, his two companions who had accompanied him from Makkah to assess the strength of the Muslim army, one of whom was Hakim bin Hizam, embraced Islam. Soon thereafter, Abu Sufyan too entered the fold of Islam, though it appears that his heart fully inclined towards Islam only after the conquest of Makkah. Following his acceptance of Islam, Hakim bin Hizam addressed the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and asked, O Messenger of Allah, is this army brought to annihilate your own people? The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, replied, that these people have committed injustice and they have transgressed. You broke the treaty agreed upon at Hudaybiyah and waged an unjust war against the tribe of Khuzar, and you violated the sanctity at a place which Allah Himself has declared to be sacred. Hakim submitted, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, indeed, your people have done as you have stated. However, rather than attacking Makkah, would it not have been more appropriate to advance against the tribe of Hawazin? The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, responded, that tribe too is guilty of wrongdoing, but I place my trust in Allah that He will grant the conquest of Makkah, the triumph of Islam, and the victory over Hawazin all through my hand. Thereafter, Abu Sufyan then inquired that if the people of Makkah do not take up arms, will they be granted safety? The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, replied that yes, whoever shuts the door of his house shall be granted peace. Hazrat Abbas then interceded that, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, Abu Sufyan is a man of pride, and he desires that some special consideration be given to his honor. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, graciously declared that very well, whoever enters the house of Abu Sufyan shall also be granted peace. Whoever takes refuge in the sacred mosque shall be safe. Whoever lays down his arms shall be safe. And whoever closes the door of his house shall be safe. And whoever seeks refuge in the house of Hakim bin Hizam shall also be granted peace. All of this detailed account has been mentioned in the Bajat of Sirul Quran. In relation to this, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam stated that during the time of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, Abu Sufyan was a man of weak heart and limited insight. When the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, achieved victory over Makkah, he said to Abu Sufyan, "Do you still not understand? Has it not yet become evident to you that this is not the work of human hands?" In response, Abu Sufyan stated that now I have understood that your God is indeed true. Had there been any reality in these idols, they would have aided us in our time of need. Then, when he was asked, "Do you now believe in my prophethood?" the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, personally put the question to him. And Abu Sufyan hesitated, and while he grasped the concept of the unity of God, i.e. Tawheed, he did not understand the concept of prophethood. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states that some people are such that they lack wisdom. The same evidence that proves divine unity also proves prophethood. But Abu Sufyan continued to separate the two. He accepted the unity of God, but not the station of prophethood. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, further states that all people are not the same caliber. Some are of the highest rank, like Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Others belong to the middle rank, and some fall into the lowest category. Ibn Uqwa narrates that as Abu Sufyan and Hakim bin Hizam were returning, Hazrat Abbas said to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, I harbour concern regarding the sincerity of Abu Sufyan's acceptance of Islam. Hazrat Abbas suggested that he be called back so that he might attain a deeper understanding of Islam and witness the armies of Allah gathered under the authority of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. According to Ibn Abi Shayba, when Abu Sufyan was about to depart, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu submitted to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, that, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, if you permit, we would intercept Abu Sufyan on the way. Ibn Ishaq records that as Abu Sufyan began his journey back, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said to Hazrat Abbas that stop Abu Sufyan at the narrow pass of the valley. Accordingly, Hazrat Abbas halted him there, and upon this, Abu Sufyan exclaimed that, O Banu Hashim, are you trying to deceive me? Hazrat Abbas replied, the prophets do not engage in deception. Then, according to another narration, he stated that we are certainly not deceivers. Remain here until the morning, that you may behold the army of Allah and witness what has been prepared for the idolaters. And so Hazrat Abbas kept Abu Sufyan in that narrow valley until dawn. As the morning broke, various tribal contingents began to pass by Abu Sufyan, one after the other. Upon seeing the first group, Abu Sufyan asked, O Abbas, who are these people? Hazrat Abbas replied, these are from the tribe of Ghifar. He remarked, what have I to do with Ghifar? Then came the people of Juhayna, and his response was the same. Then passed the tribe of Sa'd bin Huzaym, to which he again said, what concern have I with them? Next came the people of Sulaym, and once again he repeated his indifference. However, a group then approached, the likes of which Abu Sufyan had never seen before. He asked, who are these people? Hazrat Abbas replied that these are the Ansar. Their chief is Hazrat Sa'd bin Ubadah, and he holds the flag. With great fervor, Hazrat Sa'd bin Ubadah exclaimed, O Abu Sufyan, today is the day of battle. Today the sanctity of the Kaaba shall be no more. Hearing this, Abu Sufyan turned to Hazrat Abbas and said, what a destructive day this will be. If only we had a chance to fight back. In other words, we are now not even in a position to resist. Then came a smaller contingent than the rest. In it was the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, surrounded by his noble companions. The flag of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was in the hands of Hazrat Zubair bin al-Awwam. Another narration recounts that when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, passed by Abu Sufyan, he cried out that, O Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, have you commanded the destruction of your own people? Do you not hear what Sa'd bin Ubadah is saying? The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, asked that, what did he say? Abu Sufyan responded that he is proclaiming such and such things, and I implore you in the name of Allah regarding your people. He then stated that you are above all others, the purest in righteousness, the most merciful, and the best in maintaining ties of kinship. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, replied that Sa'd was not correct in what he said. Today is in fact a day of mercy. Today Allah shall grant honour to the Kaaba and shall bestow true dignity upon the Quraysh. Ibn Ishaq has recorded that one of the Muhajireen overheard what Sa'd had said. And according to Ibn Hisham, it was Hazrat Umar who heard it. He submitted to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, that, O Messenger of Allah, we are not yet secure. Perhaps Sa'd may attack the Quraysh. In another narration, this concern was expressed by Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Auf and Hazrat Usman. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then sent a message to Hazrat Sa'd and instructed him to hand over his flag, and then gave it to his son Hazrat Qais. Hazrat Muslim Maud radiallahu ta'ala anhu also elaborates on this incident, drawing from various historical sources. He writes, as the army was passing before Abu Sufyan, the commander of the Ansar, Hazrat Sa'd bin Ubadah, upon seeing him, declared that today Allah has made it lawful for us to enter Makkah by the sword, and today the tribe of the Quraysh shall be utterly humiliated. When the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, passed by Abu Sufyan, he cried out in protest that, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, have you granted permission for the slaughter of your own people? For just now the leader of the Ansar, Sa'd, and his companions were loudly proclaiming that today is a day of battle, and that the sanctity of the Kaaba shall not restrain them, and that the Quraysh will be disgraced. O Messenger of Allah, he pleaded, peace be upon him, you are the most pious, and the most merciful, and the most devoted to kinship of all mankind. Will you not forgive the wrongs of your people today? Upon hearing this heartfelt plea, even those Muhajireen who had once been mercilessly beaten in the streets of Makkah, and who had been driven from their homes and stripped of their properties, were moved with compassion for the people of Makkah, and they too voiced their concern, that, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, the Ansar have heard of the past atrocities committed by the people of Makkah, and we do not know what they may do to them today. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then proclaimed that Abu Sufyan, Sa'd has erred. Today is a day of mercy. Today Allah shall honour the Quraysh and shall exalt the Kaaba. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then sent someone to Hazrat Sa'd and instructed him to hand over the flag to his son, Hazrat Qais, who would lead the Ansar as their commander. In this way, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, not only safeguarded the hearts of the people of Makkah, but also protected the sentiments of the Ansar. Moreover, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, had complete trust in Qais, for he was known to be an exceedingly noble-natured young man. It is recorded in history that as the time of Hazrat Qais's demise approached, some people came to visit him during his illness, and some of his acquaintances did not visit. Upon this, he asked his friends why certain individuals known to him had failed to visit him. Upon this, his companions explained that you are a generous man who has lent to many during their times of need, and it is likely that some people have not come to visit you out of fear that you may be in need of money, and you may ask them to repay their debts at this time. Upon hearing this, Hazrat Qais responded that, alas, my friends have caused themselves needless worry. He then instructed that make a public proclamation throughout the city that whoever owes Qais any sum, his debt is hereby forgiven. It is said that so many people came to visit him after this announcement that the very steps of his house collapsed under the weight of the crowd. Ibn Abi Shaybah relates that Hazrat Abbas stated that, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, if you permit, I would like to go to the people of Makkah and invite them to Islam, and that you may grant them security. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, granted him permission. Thus, Hazrat Abbas mounted the Holy Prophet's white mule known as Shahba and set out towards Makkah. Upon entering the city, he proclaimed aloud that, O people of Makkah, accept Islam and you shall be granted salvation. A mighty army has arrived at your doorstep, and you have no power to withstand it. Hazrat Muslim Maud radiallahu ta'ala anhu further states, when the Muslim army had passed by, Hazrat Abbas turned to Abu Sufyan, who had stood watching the army pass before him, and stated, and now hasten swiftly to Mecca, and inform the people that Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has arrived, and that he has granted safety to its people in such and such terms. Abu Sufyan, inwardly pleased that he had found a path to salvation for the people of Mecca, rode ahead. However, as he reached the city, he was met by his wife Hind, the daughter of Utbah. From the very inception of Islam, Hind had been among those who fueled hatred and enmity against the Muslims. Though a disbeliever, she was in truth a woman of bold character. Upon seeing her husband returning, she rushed forward and seized his beard and began shouting to the people of Mecca that come forth and kill this foolish old man. Instead of urging you to fight and die for the honor of your lives and your city, he comes to declare safety from your enemy. Seeing her conduct, Abu Sufyan rebuked her and stated, that foolish woman, this is not the time for such talk. Go and hide yourself within your home. I have just witnessed an army the like of which all of Arabia has no power to resist. The incident of the Muslim army entering Mecca is also mentioned. In Sahih al-Bukhari, it is narrated by Hazrat Urwa that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, instructed Hazrat Zubair to enter Mecca from its upper part, from the direction of Qadha, and he was told to plant his flag at Hajun and not to leave that position until the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, arrived. Hajun is a mountain in the direction of Wadi al-Muhassab, located about a mile and a half from the Kaaba. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid was appointed over the right flank of the army, and his division included the tribes of Aslam, Sulaim, Ghifar, Muzayna, and Juhayna. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, instructed him to enter Mecca from the lower side, through Leith, and ordered him to plant his flag near the nearby houses. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, appointed Hazrat Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah as the commander of the infantry unit. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had strictly instructed his commanders to refrain from fighting and only to engage in battle if someone initiated fighting against them. Ibn Ishaq has recorded that Safwan, Ikrimah and Suhail called upon people to fight the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. They gathered people at Khandama, which is a well-known mountain on the route to Mina in Mecca. Members of the Quraysh, Banu Bakr, and Huzail tribes joined them, and they were all armed and ready for battle. They were all swearing by Allah that Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would never be able to enter Mecca by force. A man from the Banu Dil, i.e. Banu Bakr, named Jamash bin Qais, upon hearing about the arrival of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, began preparing his weapons. Upon this, his wife asked him, that what are you preparing for? To this he replied that for Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his companions. The woman said that by God, nothing can stand against Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his companions today. She was a wise woman. But Jamash bin Qais arrogantly and mockingly stated that I hope to present one of them to you in service. In other words, he would capture a Muslim and bring him back as a slave. He then said that you need someone to serve you, and so I will bring a slave for you. Upon this, his wife said that woe to you, don't do this. Do not fight against Muhammad, peace be upon him. By God, your judgment is not correct, and if only you had seen Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his companions yourself. Jamash said that soon you will see. Then he went off to Khandama with Safwan, Ikrimah and Suhail. When Hazrat Khalid bin Walid entered from that direction as instructed by the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, he encountered a group who blocked his path and raised their weapons against him, showering him with arrows. And they said, you cannot enter here by force. Hazrat Khalid called out to his companions and a battle ensued between them and the idolaters. 20 members of Banu Bakr and 3 or 4 members from Huzail were killed, and according to Ibn Ishaq, 12 or 13 idolaters were killed. They were badly defeated and scattered in all directions. One group climbed into the mountains. Jamash bin Qais, who had arrogantly responded to his wife earlier, fled from the scene and returned home, saying to his wife that shut the door. His wife asked, "Where are your bold claims now? Just a short while ago you were saying you'd bring back a slave." He replied in an apologetic tone and recited some verses of poetry, the meaning of which was, "Yet if you had only seen the battle of Khandama yourself, when even Safwan fled, and so did Ikrimah. All of them were met by swords. The swords struck every wrist and every skull, and nothing could be heard except the clashing noise of battle. Behind us, the enemy's roars and the rage bursting from their chests could be heard. So please do not utter even a small word of blame with your tongue." It is recorded in Sahih al-Bukhari that 2 horsemen from among the cavalry of Hazrat Khalid were martyred. They were Hazrat Jubaysh bin Ashr and Hazrat Qurz bin Jabir Fihri. Regarding the proclamation of security for the people of Makkah, it is written that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, granted protection to Abu Sufyan and to Hakim bin Hizam and instructed that go and announce in Makkah that whoever lays down their weapons shall be safe, and whoever enters their own house shall be safe, and whoever enters the courtyard of the Kaaba shall be safe, and whoever enters the house of Abu Sufyan shall be safe, and whoever enters the house of Hakim bin Hizam shall also be safe. Now, at a time when the people of Makkah were being granted protection, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, did not forget his loyal devotees and devoted companions. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, must surely have been recalling the oppression and cruelties that had been inflicted upon him in the streets of Makkah just a few years earlier. That very Bilal, who used to be tied with ropes and dragged through these rocky streets, was now also part of this victorious army. In his heart and mind, the scenes of all that persecution must have been freshly awakened. And the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, deemed it necessary to take revenge for this. And indeed, how beautiful was the way in which he took that revenge. Hazrat Muslim Aud radiallahu ta'ala anhu explained this incident as follows. Thereafter, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said regarding Abu Ruwayha, whom he had declared to be the brother of Bilal, the Abyssinian slave, that we now give our flag to Abu Ruwayha. Whoever stands beneath the flag of Abu Ruwayha shall not be harmed. And the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, instructed Bilal to walk alongside and proclaim that whoever comes under the banner of Abu Ruwayha shall be granted protection. What a subtle and beautiful wisdom lay in this command. The people of Makkah used to tie ropes to Bilal's feet and drag him through the streets. The streets and plains of Makkah were not places of safety for Bilal. Rather, they were places of torment, humiliation, and ridicule. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, must have considered that Bilal's heart would time and again incline towards the idea of revenge on that day. And taking retribution for this loyal companion was also important, but it had to be a form of retribution befitting the dignity of Islam. So the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, did not exact Bilal's revenge by having his enemies' heads cut off with a sword. Instead, he gave Bilal's brother a large flag to hold and instructed Bilal to go and make a public announcement that whoever comes and stands under the flag of my brother will be granted peace. Indeed, what a glorious form of retribution this was. What a noble and beautiful form of justice this was. As Bilal loudly proclaimed that, "O people of Makkah, come and stand beneath the flag of my brother, and you will be granted protection." His own heart must have been steadily emptied of any lingering feelings of revenge, and he must have deeply felt that no retribution could be more magnificent or more beautiful than the one the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, had devised for him. At another instance, Hazrat Muslim Aud radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions this as follows. that the greatest part about this incident is Bilal's flag. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, made a flag for Bilal and stated that whoever stands under Bilal's flag, i.e. referring to his brother's flag, then they will be granted protection. And though the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was the leader, there was no flag raised for him. After him, sacrifices were rendered by Abu Bakr, yet no flag was raised for him either. And the Muslim leader after him was Hazrat Umar, and yet no flag was raised for Hazrat Umar. Renowned after him was Usman, who was also the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's son-in-law, and yet there was no flag raised for Usman either. After him was Ali, who was of the Holy Prophet's brethren and was his son-in-law, and yet no flag was raised for Ali. Then there was Abdul Rahman bin Auf, regarding whom the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, had said that so long as he remained alive, there would not be any disagreement in the Muslim nation, and yet no flag was raised for Abdul Rahman. Then there was Abbas, who was the Holy Prophet's uncle, and there were times when he would behave with impudence. However, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, would not become upset. Yet the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, did not make a flag for him. Then all the chieftains and eminent people were also present. Khalid bin Walid, who was the son of a chieftain and himself a very renowned personality, was also present. Amr bin al-As was also the son of a chieftain, and there were other sons of great chieftains, yet a flag was not made for a single one of them. The flag that was made was for Bilal. Why? Why was a flag made for him? The reason was that when the Holy Kaaba was about to be attacked, Abu Bakr saw that those who were about to be attacked were his kinsfolk, and he himself said that, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, will you slay your brethren? He had forgotten about the oppression and recognized them as his brethren. Likewise, Umar also used to say that, O Messenger of Allah, slay these disbelievers. But when the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, forgave them, he must have thought to himself, it is good that our brothers have been forgiven. Usman and Ali must also have thought that our brethren have been forgiven. So what if they inflicted hardships upon us? Even when the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, himself forgave the disbelievers, he must have thought that these people include my uncles, my brothers, my sons-in-law, my relatives and close ones. It is a good thing that I have forgiven them, for my own relatives have been spared. But there was only one person who did not have any relatives in Makkah, who did not have any power in Makkah, who did not have any friend in Makkah. When he was helpless, he was inflicted with cruelties the likes of which were not inflicted upon Abu Bakr, Ali, Usman, Umar, not even the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Bilal would be made to lay bare on the burning, scorching sand. Observe, you cannot even walk barefoot in the months of May or June. Here it is not as hot in May and June, but in hotter countries you cannot even walk barefoot in the months of May and June. One cannot walk barefoot there even in the summer months. He would be made to lay bare on scorching sand, and then youngsters would be given spiked shoes to wear, and they would dance on his chest. As they said, they say there are other gods beside God, and say that Muhammad, peace be upon him, the messenger of Allah, is false. Bilal, in his Abyssinian accent, would say, as they beat him, that I bear witness that there is no God except Allah. I bear witness that there is no God except Allah. He would respond saying that no matter the cruelties you inflict upon me, I have witnessed that God is one. How then can I say that there are two? And having realized that Muhammad, peace be upon him, the messenger of Allah, is the true prophet of God, then how can I declare him to be false? Upon this, they would start beating him even more. For months in the summer, this is how he would be treated. Similarly, in the winter, they would tie a rope to his feet and drag him across the rocky alleys of Mecca. His skin would become wounded, and they would drag him and say that declare that Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, to be false, and declare that there are other gods beside God. But Bilal would respond that I bear witness that there is no God except Allah. I bear witness that there is no God except Allah. Now as the Muslim army, 10,000 strong, approached to enter Mecca, Bilal must have thought that today I will take revenge for those shoes. Today I will be recompensed for those beatings. when the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that whoever enters Abu Sufyan's home will be forgiven, and whoever enters the Holy Kaaba will be forgiven, whoever lays down their arms will be forgiven, and whoever closes the doors to their homes will be forgiven. Bilal must have thought to himself that they are forgiving all their brothers, and indeed this is good, but what of my revenge? The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, saw that on that day there was only one person who could have been troubled by his forgiveness, and that was Bilal, for the people he was forgiving were not Bilal's brothers. The pain he was made to endure was not endured by anyone else. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said that I will seek revenge for him, and it will be in a way that maintains the honor of my prophethood, while also bringing happiness to Bilal. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that raise Bilal's flag and tell the chieftains who danced on Bilal's chest with their shoes, and who tied a rope to his feet and dragged him, and who made him lay on scorching sand, that if they wish to save their lives and the lives of their wives and children, then stand under the flag of Bilal. It is my belief that since the creation of the world, and since man has been endowed with capabilities, and since man has sought vengeance for blood and has had the capacity to do so, such magnificent revenge has never been taken. When Bilal's flag was planted in the plain before the Kaaba, and when the same Arab chieftains who used to trample him and say, "Will you or will you not declare that Muhammad, peace be upon him, the messenger of Allah, is false?" were now running and taking their wives and children by their hands to bring them under Bilal's flag in order to save their lives. How at that moment Bilal's very being must have become sacrificed for the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. He must have said that I did not know whether I would have been able to take revenge or not from these disbelievers. Now revenge has been taken, in that those who used to step on my chest with their shoes have been made to bow their heads before my shoes. This revenge was even greater than the Prophet Joseph alayhi salam's revenge, because Prophet Joseph forgave his brothers for the sake of his father. He forgave for his father's sake, and forgiven were his brothers. While Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, the Messenger of Allah, forgave his uncles and his brothers by virtue of a slave's shoes. How could Joseph's forgiveness compare to this? The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, tended to the sentiments and upheld the honor of a weak person whose childhood and youth was spent in enslavement to the chieftains of the Quraysh in such a manner, as has been mentioned, the likes of which cannot be found in the entire world's history. This will be remembered forever. This was the example of taking revenge set by our leader and master, peace be upon him. O Allah, bless Muhammad and the people of Muhammad and grant prosperity and peace. Surely you are the praiseworthy, the exalted. Ibn Hisham writes that on the day of the conquest of Makkah, the slogan of the Muhajireen was that, O sons of Abdul Rahman, and the slogan of the Khazraj was, O sons of Abdullah, and the slogan of the Aus was, O sons of Ubaidullah. When the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, reached the mountain pass of Izhar, which was another name for Quzza, he entered Makkah through this route on the day of the conquest of Makkah. When he saw the sparks from the clanging of swords, he stated that, "Did I not forbid you from fighting?" He was informed that Khalid was confronted, and so he drew his sword, but the enemy attacked first. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, replied that the decision of Allah the Almighty is the best. In other words, Allah the Almighty wished to show the disbelievers that today you do not have the power to stop the Muslims entering Makkah. This was an unalterable decree of God Almighty, which cannot be changed. These were the initial accounts relating to entering Makkah. The remaining accounts will continue in the future, inshallah. At present, I wish to mention about a deceased female member and lead her funeral prayers in absentia after the Friday prayers. Her name was Amina Shehnaz Saiba, wife of respected Inamullah Saib of Lahore, who passed away recently at the age of 57. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Ahmadiyyat entered her family through her father, respected Muhammad Din Saib, who in 1934 went to Qadian at the age of 15 and pledged allegiance at the hands of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II radiallahu ta'ala anhum. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, the deceased was a Musia. Aside from her husband, she is survived by one son and four daughters. Her son, respected Wajiullah Sahib, is a missionary who is currently serving in Senegal. Owing to his duties in the field, he was unable to attend his mother's funeral and burial. Her son, Wajiullah Sahib, who is a missionary, writes, "And my mother was a very pious woman. She was regular in her prayers and fasting and reciting the Holy Quran. She always ensured the proper care for children. She had a lot of love for Khilafat Ahmadiyya. Whether it was an occasion of happiness or grief, she would advise me to always write to the Khalifa of the time. She would always look after guests and serve them beyond her capacity. She had a very loving relationship with even her non-Ahmadi neighbors, despite the fact that some neighbors were hostile in their opposition. However, she would always fulfill their rights as a neighbor." Her husband, Inamullah Sahib, says that we had an outstanding relationship. Throughout my life, she supported me fully in whatever capacity I was given the opportunity to serve the Jamaat. Owing to Jamaat work, if I had to stay out the entire day or night, she never complained. She was extremely hospitable. Approximately 1 month before her demise, she cooked food for approximately 22 guests of the Jamaat. She was ever ready to offer help to the poor. She would offer charity on behalf of her deceased family members as well. She always tried to impart the most excellent moral training for children. She served as secretary mal for her locality for many years and served in this capacity until her demise. Her elder brother states that his sister was loving and kind-hearted towards everyone. Since childhood, she was regular in offering the five daily prayers, devoted to the tahajjud prayer, and possessed an ardent love for Khilafat Ahmadiyya. She recited the Holy Quran regularly, and the children from the family and other children who would come to her home were also encouraged by her to observe prayer and to recite the Holy Quran. She also maintained good relations with those outside the Jamaat as well. A non-Ahmadi neighbor said that I had a bond with her spanning 20 years, and she treated me like her sister. With my children, she behaved like her mother. My children even used to call her Ammiji, our dear mother. She always gave me the best advice in all matters. Indeed, there are noble people even outside the Jamaat who not only maintain relations but also value them. The Sadr Lajna of Rechna town says, "With her passing, our majlis has lost a most sincere and devoted member of the Jamaat. For nearly 20 years, she served as secretary mal and rendered this duty with great sincerity. She would actively partake in Jamaat initiatives, and regardless of her circumstances, she never sent anyone empty-handed." And this has been mentioned by several girls and her daughters as well. She would observe the voluntary fast every Thursday. Whenever a program was arranged at her home, she would happily host it and would extend her hospitality. May Allah the Almighty bestow His forgiveness and mercy upon her. Her son, who as mentioned is a missionary, and due to his responsibilities in the field of service, was unable to attend the funeral. May Allah the Almighty grant him patience and fortitude and make all her children the recipients of her prayers.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله ان الله يامر بالعدل واللسان وايتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.